Hello and welcome, Meta Chasers, to the Matcha Plus Plus episode of Necrons, Matcha Plus Plus Season 2,
I would suppose it's going to be. Like it. It's our first ever second season or something.
So this season that we're going to be focusing, since we've pretty much covered all the factions, we didn't quite get to them all on the first season, but since we've pretty much covered all this, we're going to go into specific factions, especially since now we're looking at more detachments. There's more to unpack with each individual faction. There's more to talk about. There's a lot more builds and stuff we can go into, a lot more detail for each faction. And in order to do that for the Necrons, I have been joined by two people who know Necrons pretty dang well. So first up, I'm joined by Ed.
How you doing?
I'm doing great. Thanks, Ed. And I'm joined by Chris.
Hi, guys.
So, guys, I'm presuming you've played Necrons as well. You're here, but you've also played a bit into Necrons as well. So, we know what we're talking about here.
Miserable experience, but you know we're here to make those people who've also found it a miserable experience. We're going to make it slightly less miserable for you today. You know, that's the plan.
I feel like I've lived the full experience with Necrons. I've won with Necrons. I've lost with Necrons. I've won into Necrons. I've lost into Necrons.
Yeah.
I've won with Necrons into Necrons. And I've lost with Necrons into Necrons.
Yeah, you have done the full Shazam, haven't you?
All right. So without further ado, let's get straight into it. Bring up the old slides, the 6++ special. First off, first faction we're going to be talking about today is going... we're not going to talk about... I was going to say detachment, but we're actually going to talk about overall stats first. So this is for all the Necron detachments that I've seen competitive use. In terms of overall win rate, we're looking at 56%. The play rate is 10%, and event wins is 7. I should say a percent on there. We've got 7 event wins with Necrons. In terms of factions they're doing well against, they have got a 69% win rate against Astra Militarum, a 61% win rate against Eldari, and 66% win rate against Chaos Space Marines. How the mighty have fallen, I will say. And then in terms of their bottom three performances, we're looking at a 45% into Grey Knights, a 43% into Leagues of Votann, and a 40% into Thousand Suns. Any thoughts on those?
Interesting how the Necrons performed best against the previous two best factions and the current best faction in the game, Astra Militarum.
Yeah,
that's interesting, isn't it, Jack?
It is actually. Yeah, I mean, it really can't be overstated how S tier Astra Militarum is with big numbers like that against Necrons.
I think, like for me as a player who's played so much Eldari, Necrons historically has always been rough because what Eldar are really good at is highly efficient shooting, and actually they don't have quite enough to cut through the Necron bricks unless you're able to pour a huge amount of, like, basically your entire army into something, and then the Necrons get the chance to kind of just build back up. I mean, it depends on the build, but I mean, Ed and I played a game where I unleashed the mighty Wraith Guard into the Wraiths, and after the reanimator had done its thing, there was like 5 Wraiths still standing. And it's you know, the Eldar output just doesn't quite cut it. You know, they don't have a great, outside of potentially the Avatar, who can like kind of punch things, maybe getting through a Melter with Fugan or the Melter from like Fire Dragons, which we're seeing a lot more of. They don't have a great way of dealing with Catan, and what Eldar really hate is being pressured on multiple fronts at once and just having to deal with lots of things, because they're good at dealing with one thing, but when they've got lots of different units, like lots of the Wraiths and the Catan all being shoved down their throat at one time, they can easily be overwhelmed like that. And, you know, these Necronists aren't slow either, are they? You know, these Wraiths are, you know, pretty quick boys. So, I've experienced it enough. I know when we've played team stuff that Eldari certainly do struggle into the Necrons.
CSM doing poorly into Necrons makes sense to me as well. I think the unit that really sort of put the pressure in that matchup was the Accursed Cultists, because just the volume of attacks that they put out with a profile that really was just designed to hurt both Catan and Wraiths. That damage to, well, I guess less into the Catan, but the damage to into Wraiths with the volume of attacks they were putting out really caused issues. And now they're kind of gone. It's I'm a lot less scared of the smaller activations that they can pull off, because I can always just heal my big bricks back, or you don't quite finish off a Catan, so then I can pull some sort of shenanigans to get it back to fighting strength.
I guess it makes sense in terms of the these are two factions that have had their outputs recently just reduced, and since Necrons are a faction that generally focuses on resilience a lot as one of their main selling points, that's going to be a big factor. In terms of worst performers, any that stick out there for you?
Grey Knights. Grey Knights.
Yeah.
Like the rumors of the Grey Knight glow up were not exaggerated. Those triple Baby Walker. What are they called?
Dread Knight.
Thank you. Triple Dread Knight seems to make a big difference. I know when I've played into Grey Knights as Necrons, especially if you're running Catan and Wraith Bricks, I'd expect like a 20-0. Because you just stand on the primary.
They well, don't you have a 20-0, right, at teams, so...
I think I got an 18-2 because I was a bit sloppy. Yeah. But it should have been a 20-0. It was... Yeah, you just stand on the primary, and they can't deal with you in the shooting, which means they have to walk up to you in a very honest way or get their sort of one reliable charge from Deep Strike with Drago. But now they've got the shooting to chip you down and then charge you. And
they've also got, with the Grandmaster, who can ignore modifiers.
That is true.
Grandmaster, so he can just... Here's a unit, him and a unit of Terminators or Paladins. He goes with Paladins. They can just one-shot a Catan, kind of no bother.
Then there's also the Librarian as well that puts out a fairly unacceptable amount of mortal wounds. So it all adds up into a package that when you lay it out, it makes sense. But sort of from my experiences pre-FAQ, pre-Data Slate, I was like, Grey Knights, walk in the park. I don't even have to turn my brain on here. And now it seems like an actually difficult matchup.
Yeah. I think these next two are quite interesting as well, because the Leagues of Votan go in the direction of the ignore modifiers thing and the large damage output plus one to hit, plus one to wound.
So much shooting and one damage stuff, isn't it? And that's what we've often said, like you're not losing any efficiency when you're just firing all that one damage, especially like the Terminators, for example, that kind of that one damage, no AP, just loads of mortal wounds. That's your way of dealing with Catan, because it's so many shots. That's definitely... like we've played that kind of sort of doubled with those matchups and discussions enough to know that Votan are more definitely one of those armies who do have enough output to just get through that that stat check that a lot of Necronists are doing.
Yeah, if you're trying to play the traditional sort of loads of Wraith, loads of Catan, you are going to be standing out in the open. You are going to be saying, I'm presenting you with a stat check. And Votan do have, sure, not the best mobility. So if you're playing a tricksy game, that might be harder. But into the Awakened Dynasty, specifically, Canoptic Court, if they can get there, they will just pick up units.
Yep.
And then Thousand Suns go the other direction, with a lot of mortal wounds, a lot of devastating wounds being done. And then I imagine the objective holders of the Necrons are quite vulnerable to the indirect fire that Thousand Suns can put out as well, so there's a lot of stuff there.
Necrons haven't got a great way of killing Magnus, I guess. You know, Necrons aren't the most killy, so Magnus can go around and you'll get another chance to put a lot of hurt out.
For me, it's the mortal wound, the death wound output. It's the inverse of Custodes, where Custodes go, it doesn't matter what you hit me with, I'm getting a 4+. With Necrons, it's all about those layered defences, so stripping away the best layer of defence, the Invuln, and just leaving them with a Feel No Pain, which, you know, a Feel No Pain is great and it's good to have, but it cuts their efficiency in half. So very, very difficult.
And the half damage from the Satan as well.
Yeah.
All right. So that's our overall. The first attachment we're covering is Hypercrypt, if I remember right.
Yep.
Oh, no, it's not. It's going to be the overall most wanted units for the Necron builds. So I feel like... most of the commonly used data sheets for the Necrons are ones that are generally fairly universally used, apart from these last two. They're kind of a bit more build specific. But stuff like Satan and of all varieties, characters and Transcendent, Wraiths with Technomancers, Cesaris is a very common pick, and then Immortals with either Plasmancer or Chronomancers, Monoliths in Hypercrypt, hyperphase court. Sorry. Hypercrypt. Yep. Then Doomstalkers in Canoptic Court. That's the one. Is there any ones you think people are likely to see on the tournament scene that I've missed there, or
you're seeing more and more, especially Hypercrypt, going for like the destroyer and heavy destroyer builds. And we'll come to that when we talked about the specific detachment, I'm sure. But destroyers are always interesting. I think people always like to play destroyers, so people like to try and make destroyers work. And I know heavy destroyers are seeing a bit of play, and normal destroyers, to be fair, people are trying to use them a lot in Hypercrypt. But yeah, I think generally those are definitely the kind of the big bags. You are seeing other ones, but they're more detachment specific, like the Monolith and the Doomstalkers.
Yeah, just to, I guess, talk a little bit about the Catanival varieties. I am, especially now we're in a meta where you can't just brute force as much with the Catan, I'm less hot on the Void Dragon. I think it was also really good into, for example, the matchup into Ironstorm. Ironstorm Marines now ignore your half damage, which is your, you know, Catan go from not dying at all to falling over real fucking quick. So I think you just take the Void Dragon out of the lists unless you specifically wanted to. Nightbringer stays in, tiny base, highest damage output, and I really like the Transcendent. Having that inbuilt Deep Strike is great, especially if you're playing Hypercrypt. The additional mobility it has, being able to teleport around, find those angles, really abuse the fact that you've got an incredible defensive package by only letting a third of your opponent's army get to it. I think that's sort of the direction I'm interested in moving in with the Catan.
So would you say, is it fair to say, do you think that we're looking at the Satan and Monolith as more of a Hypercrypt thing, the Wraith Technomancer and Doomstalkers is more of a Canoptic thing, and then the rest are more generalist objective holders?
If I'm writing a list, I have at least one squad of Wraiths in every Necron list, I think. They're just too cheap, too dependable, too good. They're very, you know, they do a little bit of everything. They don't have the damage output, really, but they can do actions. They're very tanky. You can do shenanigans with them in all of the detachments that we're talking about here. Catan, I'm probably putting at least one in every list, probably up to two in most. I'm not writing three anymore. Monolith is mostly just Hypercrypt, and then the Doomstalkers is just Canoptech. But everything else is, it's like the Necron good stuff. It's good. It goes in all my lists.
The unsung hero is the Reanimator, which I think
it's so good.
The more and more people are playing, what you often hear is people who play with a Reanimator go, oh man, the Reanimator is much better than I thought it was going to be. I know I wrote it off. And then I heard like Connor from our team saying, oh no, it's actually good. I know, Ed, you've dabbled with it as well. And having played into it, having shot my Wraith Guard into the race and gone, oh, there's two left. Oh no, there's not. So the Reanimator is one of those which you kind of have to be prepared for and plan into like your maths when you're playing into the Necrons, if they have one, because that's a massive pain in the ass.
Also plan it into your game plan, because it's not that tough. It's T6 with a 4 up feel no pain and a 3 up armor save, no invuln. It's only got 6 wounds. Like, it does fall over if you can get an angle on it, but it's a surprisingly small model. It's kind of easy to hide as vehicles go. You can trail models back to get within that 3 inches. So you should be planning to try and find a way to deal with that before you put all your damage into the big bricks.
Awesome. So let's move to the next slide. I won't make any prediction about what this one is. It is Hypercrypt Legion. There we go. So the stats for Hypercrypt Legion. We have got overall win rate of 56%, a play rate of 6%, and 4 event wins under the belt. In terms of what we're performing best against, we've got Dark Angels at 74%, Astra Militarum at 68%, and Custodes at 58%. I'll put a little asterisk next to there because that is the most played matchup out of the data is available for the Hypercrypt Legion. So just thought that was worth noting out. In terms of their worst performers, their worst performances are against Chaos Knights with a 37% win rate, the Leagues of Votan, once again, with a 40% win rate, and Tyranids with a 49% win rate. All of these data points are over 100 games, I'm pretty sure.
Wow.
So worth noting that, I think, believe. It's just a lot of games Harper Crypt's been played.
Yeah. For my money, this is the best attachment, like, hands down. I think the skill expression, if you're a good player, you will run rings around other players that you couldn't do with the other detachments. You lose a little bit of that sort of brainless stat check, but in return, you have not unlimited, but so much more space to play with this detachment.
We had this argument on our group chat when the detachments came out. Actually, some of us was team Hypercrypt and some of us were team Canoptic. And yeah, I was very much on the Hypercrypt train in the long run, simply because, as you say, Ed, it's all about that maneuverability. Mm. Like, whenever we play into armies who can just pick up units and drop down into places and be a massive pain in the ass, it makes the game so much more stressful, you know, so much more thought intensive. And it's just so powerful. As we all know, movement is king, and they can just keep picking up their units and sticking them in various places. And there's so many builds around it. I mean, the whole monolith and 20 warriors thing, stringing out, blocking up space. Oh, you've shot me, I'm going back to the monolith now. Like, that's barely being seen. And yet that still feels like that's something that's really powerful. I mean, it feels like there's still so much space to be kind of discovered with the Hypercrypt. It just seems like it's going to have so many angles, literally and metaphorically. So I think, it's a really good...
It's only been such a great one. It's only been improved since it came out, right? Because that FAQ changed for the stratagem to give any unit deep strike, right?
Not only has it been improved, the other detachments have been nerfed. Yeah. Kineptic Court used to do mortal wounds for the immortals. That's gone.
Yeah.
And the other detachments lean more on Catan, in my opinion. So their relative durability loss into the meta means that Hypercrypt, which was already, you know, up there for spot number one, I don't think it was on release, but I think that was maybe more that people just weren't, didn't have the reps in it. Now it's definitely up there for me.
Okay, let's talk about some of these faction win rates. So the Custodes one there, I mean, people have been saying for a while that Custodes have good matchups into Necrons.
David Gaylar is literally like, it's unwinnable for Necrons.
Well, the data suggests otherwise.
Oh, yeah, interesting.
I agree. If we're talking Canoptic Court and Awakening Dynasty,
race. Yeah,
because the Custodes data sheets are designed almost to deal with the threats. You've got ways to get pluses to wound against monsters for the Catan. You can get rerolls to wound if you want to tech into it by taking a big brick of the Alaris Terminators. You can ignore modifiers, the half damage with Trajan. You can make it very difficult to deal with. You can, you know.
So if that's the case, why have Hypercrypt got such a good win rate against Custodes then?
Boy, I'm going to teleport around and shoot you. Custodes do not like playing a game of try and catch me. Oh, you can't catch me. I'm going to shoot you. They are 6-inch move models. Yes, you will be running a couple of blade champs, one or two, depending on whether you go Valerian. You will get that once per game advance and charge. That's not a great amount of maneuverability. You're leaning on a couple of units being able to advance and charge once, and then maybe doing some rapid ingress shenanigans to catch out your opponent. But Hypercrypt is mobile, and if you play around the edge of the board but don't get fully dominated on primary, if you manage to get if you're scoring tens because you just stood on your home objective and another objective with your Wraith Brick, for example, that's where the Wraith or the Catan come in to nail down some primary in the Custodes matchup. It becomes very difficult for your opponent to score any meaningful secondary while not getting much of a lead on you on primary.
I imagine it helps as well that Hypercrypt is going to be very, very good at secondaries, and Custodes are quite a bit worse.
Something also to mention about this and the Dark Angels matchup, you're probably not running as much screening as you'd like to. You're running more elite armies, although Dark Angels, I don't know if we can say much about them post-Codex change. Hard to stop a monolith from getting into, you know, potentially your deployment, which is a meme, but like, once it's there, it's really hard to deal with, and it will just keep doing the thing it wants to do. You've kind of got to play your own game against Hypercrypt, but they do that very well as well.
Yeah, not much, not tons of good anti-tank for the monolith either, so I imagine that helps. So We also got Ashmiltarum, Dark Angels. I mean, Dark Angels, we kind of know that they're struggling a bit anyway, just due to their weird codex situation right now.
Yeah, this is pre-codex, but I think it's just also a lot of the Dark Angels lists skew into running Deathwing Knights and trying to play the durability game and
Custodius Light.
Something like that, yeah.
And then Astra Militarum. Are the Hypercrypt lists less susceptible to indirect, do you think? Is that a... Do you think they generally trend towards that kind of build? Because it's the Hypercrypt lists that I see tend to run a lot of Satan, which I think aren't particularly good targets for the indirect.
Yeah, I'll be honest, I don't know this matchup super well. I'd assume they're a little more susceptible to the indirect. I could be wrong with that. But I think it might just be that you can get good angles on the and the Astra Militarum player. Like, you can get into their units. It's really hard to screen your Manticore Brick at the back, for example, if they can drop in a Nightbringer 3 inches away.
3 inches away. Yeah.
They can pull some shenanigans, and you think you've found every angle to cover, and then you haven't, and then you go, oh, he's multi-charged me, and I've lost two, and the third one's tagged, and it's died on my turn. Oh, it's all gone wrong. So I assume it's something along those lines. It's very hard to deal with an army that mobile as guard.
All right, so in terms of the bad matchups, looking at Chaos Knights, Leagues of Votan, Tyranids. We've already talked about Leagues of Votan quite a bit. Chaos Knights and Tyranids. Quite good screening armies are the ones that they jump out to me there.
The Knights is an interesting one, isn't it? Because I guess you just sit on the objectives and say, ha, I OC you. Is that the idea?
Yeah, 100%. And also, Knights have a really good profile into Necrons. I've been banging this drum for a while now, and I was saying it, you know, in the lead up to teams as well. It only takes, like, I think I can't remember the exact numbers. It's like three carnivores or three or four brigands with their sixes sustained hits strat to kill a Catan. And that's without, you know, ignore modifiers. That's just raw output. There weren't many armies in the game that could do that.
Yeah.
So just having that base, you don't have to build around it. You just go, oh, hey, my models that do things efficiently kill your models efficiently. I think that puts Chaos Knights in a very solid spot. It's hard to bully the primary against them, especially when, as you say, put a knight on a point, hey, it's OC8. That's two Catan.
I think it says a lot as well that the one of the bottom three win rates they have is 49%.
Yeah, I was just thinking, I was like, Tyranids, I mean, pretty much 50%. That's not that bad, is it?
Yeah, yeah. all right, I think we've pretty much covered that stuff then. So let's go to the next slide here. All right, so we've got an example list here for Hypercrypt Legion. This is admittedly pre-data slate, but I think the...
Are you okay, Ed? Because are you getting any PTSD from this?
So I actually suggested this list. Chat.
Okay, right. I thought he'd sprung this on you as some sort of sick joke.
So at Teams, I was playing Awakened Dynasty. Josie was playing Hypercrypt and absolutely ran rings around me. And it was a bit of a beautiful symphony. It was great to watch. It was awful to be, you know, on the receiving end of. But just the tools in this are disgusting. Those Enmetic Exterminators on the Lockhurst Heavy Destroyers, they put out shots. Just being able to put them, you know, in a place that's very hard for a slower army to deal with. You just sort of dance around the edge of the board. You move your monolith. That squad of Immortals, there's only five of them. They've got a Chronomancer in there. They do, you know, they move somewhere. They shoot, or they come in from reserve. They shoot, they fire and fade. Oh no, they're in danger. I managed to shoot one of them to death. I, you know, flubbed my rolls. Cool. They're going to go back through the monolith. There's a lot of moving parts with the list.
Yeah.
And you've got several units there, which, I mean, we go back to the Custodes thing, right? There's several units there that are just going to eat up Custodes models. You know, you look at the Heavy Destroyers with the Nemetic Exterminators, the Monolith of Death Rays, and the, I imagine the Nightbringer as well does some nasty damage to some Custodes. That's all quite unpleasant for them to deal with. Just to give a quick run through on the list, Chronomancer, Hexmark Destroyer, Locust Lord with Arisen Tyrant, Psychomancer with the Hyper Special Transfer node, Technomancer, Nightbringer Void Dragon, got 5 Immortals Tesla Carvines, 5 Flayed Ones, 6 Locust Destroyers, 3 Heavy Destroyers with the Enmetic Exterminators, 6 Canoptic Wraiths, a Reanimator, and a Monolith with the Death Rays. Just to be complete there. I imagine, do you think this is going to be a fairly stock standard kind of framework of the Hypercrypt Legions, or maybe slightly less Satan going forward? But
I think the core similar of this is still good. I mean, obviously Necrons really dodged any nerfs. I'm expecting to see those in the next data slate when it comes around in two or so months from now. But I think, you know, one squad of Wraiths to have a tanky objective holder, two Catan. Like I say, I really like the Transcendent. Maybe you stick with the Void Dragon. Its mobility issues are lower in Hypercrypt, and maybe you find that you need the damage output into certain armies. So maybe make small changes around here, but I think the core is good. You know, you can change the scoring units as well. Like maybe instead of going flayed ones, you prefer death marks. I think you can chop and change little bits and pieces, but I think the core of it probably looks fairly similar.
Yeah, but I think this is if you're looking to play Hypercrypt, I think this is a really good start point.
Okay, which means it's a pretty good start point to start prepping into Hypercrypt as well. All right, so swiftly moving on. So any other tips and tricks you want to cover for the Hypercrypt Legion? I've got a few here. First of all, is screening out deep strikes. It's pretty basic, but understandably, a lot of people can miss that one. Hypercrypt Legion does have access to a 3-inch deep strike. But ultimately, I don't know how if you guys agree with this, you can't really screen out a 3-inch deep strike forever.
No, you most know, army, yeah, exactly. Yeah, just it's about accepting, and it's just about making sure you know where the worst places are for it to happen, and not allowing it to hit the worst places, and then knowing that if they do 3-inch deep strike in a certain place, then at least you're going to be able to kill the thing once it's landed.
Something to be aware of is it's, as far as I'm aware, the only army in the game that can 3-inch deep strike and then also fire and fade. I might be wrong with that. But it does mean that you just straight up can't screen out objectives by putting a model over the scent of the objective the way you normally can. They can deep strike in some immortals with a chronomancer, fire and fade them forwards. Look, I've got, you know, six models there, OC 11 on the point. I've probably taken that away from you. It's a sneaky
Tomb Blades trick. Do that as well.
Yes, that's true.
So, I mean, there was a really cool list Mark Crumbleholm ran, which was like 3 units of 5 immortals with chronomancers and 3 units of bikes, and just, you know, you just keep dropping down, shooting, moving on to an objective. The bikes are OC 6, the immortals are OC like 11, yeah. And you're just going to say, you're not getting, well, you're getting 5 primary if you're lucky each turn. And I think it's so powerful. And so what you can do is, as Ed says, you know, you can't ring your middle of the objective and stop that 3-inch. You can ring kind of the screen out in front and that sort, or behind and that sort of thing. But then obviously the idea is if you're doing that, then you might be getting shot. So they're trying to catch you in that awkward situation. But yeah, there is play in which you can just be off the objectives, and it stops them from being able to move on to your objective.
So I would probably say that if your faction has any access to any units that are, you can't deep strike within 12 of me, units. Mm.
Very good, yeah.
Definitely worth looking at picking up in this meta, I would say. I think beware the rapid ingress here. It's obviously not a Hypercrypt Legion specific trick, but pretty much anything could be rapid ingressing, because basically everything can go in the reserve. So it's definitely something to watch out for, because stuff is going back into reserve constantly. It's not a thing you watch out for turn 2 and 3. You got to watch it every single turn, because it can just come in at any point.
Yeah, just to briefly contextualize that, the way Hypercrypt works is it's like Grey Knights. End of your opponent's turn, you choose up to 3 units, and they go into strat reserve. If they have the deep strike rule on their data sheet, or if you spend the CP for the 3-inch deep strike stratagem, they can come in from deep strike, so not on the board edge, but otherwise they're coming in board edge. But as Jack's saying, this means that you have to be vigilant up until like turn 5. Yeah. Your opponent can bring stuff in that you weren't expecting.
Can get that capture enemy outpost at any time.
Yeah,
absolutely. If your opponent draws capture enemy outpost on turn 1, maybe let them have it so you can just give up your home objective and take the rest of the board, and then you don't even have to worry about screening.
Yeah, you can, you may just have a Nightbringer end up 9 inches away from your line in your turn. That might just be a thing that happens, which is always unpleasant. Something to keep in mind as well, of the six stratagems that this detachment gets, four of them are for the monolith or a unit with the monolith. So if your opponent is taking a monolith in the Hypocrite Legion list, it is worth keeping an eye out for what that can do and what stratagems interact with that. It's quite important. And then lastly, the one I've got here is a Risen Tyrant is a really common enhancement you'll see in Hypercrypt Legion lists, which is when a unit comes in from reserve, it gets full rules to hit. And otherwise, I believe it's reroll ones if they don't come in from reserve. I believe that's how it works.
Yeah, the big combo here is you put that on a Lockhurst Lord and put that with a unit of the Heavy Destroyers with the multi-shot guns. They come in, they get 12 shots each. They get crit hits on fives, they fish for fives with the full rerolls because they've come in from reserves, and they just do that time after time after time, and they put out an unbelievable volume of shots.
Yeah, it's like 60 hits or something on average. So ridiculous. Anything else you guys want to cover for the Hypercrypt Legion? Anything else people should be watching out for when they're playing the internet?
I'd say just thinking about the Monolith, because I think it's probably a bit in vogue at the moment, so it's quite likely that if you play into Hypercrypt, you would come across the Monolith. Like, we play a lot on UKTC boards. There aren't a huge amount of spaces where that Monolith can go, so I think it's not like you're worried about like the small base of the Nightbringer getting into a spot or something. Like, this Monolith is fucking massive, so you can control where it goes. So I think that's something that you really want to be trying to shape, and also being so aware of your opponent's CP. So for example, like, if you start shooting a unit, then they've got that ability to just teleport away as soon as you finish your round. So don't just start off with like your incidental fire and give them that free move. If you're planning on blapping a particular unit and you think you've got the output from one of your units, you have to start. You have to start with that unit. But general screening is going to be your best bet here, I think.
Yeah. Okay, I think we've covered everything we need to cover there for the Hypercrypt Legion. So let's switch up and take a look at the second most played detachment for this action, which is Canopic Court. Okay, I'll end it. So we've got some interesting stats here. Overall win rate is 57%, which is almost the same as Hypercrit Legion. Play rate is 3%, and they have two event wins down. They perform best against, once again, Astra Militarum with 75%, Tyranids with 69%, and Chaos Knights for 64%. And then their worst performers are Adeptus Custodes with 41% win rate, Grey Knights 48% win rate, and Thousand Suns with 36% win rate. Once again, start the Custodes because it is the most common matchup for this detachment. Interesting one there. If you guys have caught it, but Chaos Knights have swapped for a worst performer to a best performer. And then Custodes has swapped down from a best performer to a worst performer.
Yeah, makes sense. Like we were saying for the Hypercrypt, this is the sort of list that Custodes are built to beat. They'll ignore your modifiers, they'll precision out your characters, they will just do volume of attacks that will chew through your units. You won't hurt them back meaningfully. They have the OC to threaten you on points. Custodes just do the things that Necrons are kind of scared of.
Okay.
What do you think about the Chaos Knights one then,
Ed?
Is it because Chaos Knights, it's the reactive move and the lone op strat?
So I've got two answers for you. The first answer is yes, absolutely. Reactive strat and the Nurgle strat, where you can't be shot outside of a certain radius. I think it makes it quite difficult to focus fire, which is the way that you deal with Necrons. So I think that is a factor of it. I also think that Chaos Knight players don't play aggressively enough. And I've been, again, banging this drum for a while. A lot of top players keep telling us that, you know, Chaos Knight matchup into X is bad. And I go, well, but what if the Chaos Knights just full send into the middle of the board? What do you do then? And I think this is another one where the numbers might be a little deceptive if you play more aggressively, but you make sure to get your multi-charges off or your multi, you know, focus all your brigands into one brick, focus all your carnivores into one brick, deal with your threats one at a time. It's hard for the Necron player to pump enough damage into the brigands, into the war dogs in general. So I think the numbers aren't as bad as they look, but this is probably the best detachment to play against Chaos Knights.
I think that Dev Wound stratagem is also quite...
It's fine, but you don't have anything to put it on that's super exciting anymore. Because it's now... It's keys off the Canoptic or the Cryptek keyword per model. It's not per unit, so no longer are you putting out those consistent 11 to 14 mortal wounds on the Immortals. Now the best target is to put it on one of the Doomstalkers. But Doomstalkers...
And then you roll the one on the number of shots and you're just sad.
Yeah, it's very swingy. It makes a swingy model swingier in some ways.
Yeah.
So sorry,
that stratagem applies for close combat as well, right?
Yeah, you can use it on Wraiths.
Yeah, so I think maybe Wraiths hitting into a knight becomes like, we'll probably kill it now rather than probably not kill it.
Maybe.
You got your matrix on, you're getting your hits, aren't you?
Yeah.
And then it's to be still winning on fives is the issue.
Half your wounds become dev wounds, which is fine.
Yeah. You got a chance.
It's okay. It's a lot of CP for not a huge efficiency boost.
Yeah, that was the issue. Yeah. I only ever really considered using it when I was firing Immortals. Nothing else ever felt worthwhile. Yeah. If you need it just to tip you over the edge mathematically, then
yeah.
It could be okay, but you realistically, if that detachment spending CP on the lone op and the move again reactor strat at every opportunity.
Yeah.
Seeing Tyranids up in the perform best section as well is interesting because as we saw in the overall, it's only a 49% win rate overall. So that tells us that the other detachments have a much worse win rate than Canoptic Court does into Tyranids, which makes sense, right? Because Canoptic Court is the I'm going to sit on the objectives and not move kind of detachment, right?
So. Yeah. And you're probably going to stack multiple units on objectives just by dint of, you know, you're trying to do cleanse and teleport home as if you're going for fixed secondaries, which inherently makes it very difficult for your opponent to stop you scoring primary with their once per turn battle shock your entire army or make you roll battle shock. I think this is a good detachment to get play against Nids because they don't have the damage to deal with you and they don't have the OC to deal with you as well. Like, sure, their Gargoyles are OC2, but your Wraiths are OC2 and they have massive bases and they're taking up almost the entire objective. And if you charge, then you just get eaten.
I think these stats really highlight an important factor of why Necrons are doing so well. And it's because I think their two best detachments, Canoptic Court and Hyperphase Legion, do the essentially opposite things, right? They have two very different, even though they're using the same data sheets, they use them in very different ways. And that allows them to be good against a lot of different factions that they wouldn't normally be good against. So I think that makes them, while individual detachments probably don't have like as good like set win rates, I think because when you aggregate all the detachments together, the win rate of a faction sort of is brought up by them all being better than the sum of parts, I guess.
It's harder to tech for Necrons in the meta,
yeah.
I think is what you're trying to get at. Because
I'm really bad at explaining stuff.
It's fine. Like I got it. You can either tech for killing 18 wraiths, which is very different to dealing with, you know, everything popping up around you. One of them, you probably want to have your own fast units that can, you know, get out of fire lines and screen out. And the other one, you just go, okay, I need to play Votan. I need to have lots of guns. So that's what is interesting here to me is that Thousand Suns are even better in this detachment. It shows that the sort of tricksy nature of Hypercrypt gives you a little bit of a, you know, play into what's probably the worst matchup. And then Thousand Suns in this detachment just go, you're not hiding from me. You're not even trying. I'm just going to put that stat check into you. Same as sort of Votan.
Yeah. All right. So let's switch up to the next slide I've got here. Which is the example list provided by my good friend Ed here. Thank you very much. So our example Canoptic Court list is Nightbringer, Void Dragon, Hexmark Destroyer, three Technomancers, one with Dimensional Sanctum for Infiltrate on this unit, one for Hyperphasic Fulcrum, which I believe is reroll ones to wound. We've got two Canoptic Doomstalkers, a Canoptic Reanimator, a Scarab Swarm unit, and three units of six wraiths with claws and casters. I imagine the 3x6 wraiths with three technomancers is like the staple of Canoptic Court. That's basically what you're going to see in most Canoptic Court lists, if maybe 2x6 if someone struggles to get hold of 18. But a lot of the time, I think 2x6.
I think you can write legitimate lists with 2x6.
Gives you a bit more play. I ran 2x6, and it just gives you those extra 2 to 3 units to play for mission.
This very much leans into my bias of I want to go, I'm playing the stat check list, I want to have more of the stat check. But I don't think you're wrong for dropping down to 2 bricks of wraiths or dropping down to a single Catan. I probably wouldn't want to drop down to 1 Catan and 2 wraiths. I think at that point you're really stretching yourself thinking on the durability. But I think you could definitely go one of those two ways and very comfortably have an extra 300 points of scoring units.
So what other units do you think people are going to be taking instead of those wraiths? Do you think it's going to be Tomb Blades or more damage output? Or
Tomb Blades are incredible. The only downside with Tomb Blades is their points. It's the only, you know, they're not like super expensive, but we are seeing a lot of Necron players run just individual single destroyers because they're 30 points. You can just, you know, strat reserve them in, they'll do something, you can leave it on a point. It's, you know, perfectly adequate. It's relatively tough. It doesn't die to just sort of, you know, incidental, oh, I managed to get one gun onto a model. But yeah, I think it'll just be a case of if you want to go more scoring units, you'll see the usual flayed ones if you are worried about aggressive armies, death marks if you want to get tricksy with your scoring, destroyers if you want cheap holding units, and then immortals and my brain's turned off.
Chronomancers?
Thank you. We're all struggling today. Immortals and Chronomancers and Tomb Blades if you want to go for the sort of fire and fade plays.
I think the Scarabs are an interesting one because I remember Liam Hackett from Tomb Australia, he won an RTT when this new book first came out, and he ran Max Scarabs, Max Wraiths and Max Doomstalkers and just lent into the... into like the Canoptic vibe. And I think on certain styles of terrain, Scarabs can be really good. I think they might well be more of a terrain pick. I ran 3 units of 3 on UKTC, and actually I just found them really hard to maneuver. But I think there is probably, because they are still so cheap, there is a world maybe on other terrain systems, or if you just got lots of reps in and knew how to get them from A to B, you know, those 3 units of 6 actually can be a serious massive pain in the ass of some people. If you're spreading them out so that they can get the OC1 and all that sort of thing, if you can maximize their tricks and you've got the lone op strats and those sorts of things and the reactive moves, great for move blocking, great for screening, super cheap.
If you want to play in the mirror.
Pardon?
Incredible. If you want to play in the mirror, incredible.
Yeah, absolutely. I think Scarabs are really good. I just personally found them quite hard to maneuver on the UKTC. So if you were to play into Canoptic Court and they do have lots of Scarabs, be really careful. You're watching like how they move their Scarabs. I think because actually Scarabs don't go very far at all when they're having to move around lots of ruins from a place of hiding.
A lot of just people forget in 10th edition that they can't go through walls because they're beasts.
Absolutely.
Because they're beasts? Yes.
They're swarms.
Sorry, because they're swarms.
They don't have beast or infantry, so they don't get to walk through walls.
Yeah. I have to imagine on Games Workshop terrain sets with the less than 2-inch tall ruins, they have a lot easier time maneuvering around the boards. So
yeah, they are 10-inch move models with fly, so as long as you've got short walls, you can fly over them without losing too much distance, especially if you're starting from, you know, a bit back, and then you can do some triangles over the top and not actually lose much horizontal movement. But yes, they...
Yeah.
So we talked before about Hyperphase Legion going for tactical cards a lot. Would you say this is more likely to be fixed as a game plan?
If you drop either a Catan or a Wraith Brick and you put more scoring units in, I like Tactical because CP is great and this is a CP Hung Gauge attachment. As it stands, I think you want to run 2 of either Teleport Homers, cleanse and behind enemy lines. Depending on what your opponent is, what the deployment is, what the terrain map is, I'm pretty happy just standing on objectives and doing actions.
Especially in something like teams. I think just going Canoptic Court, leaning into the durability, and I'm sitting in my half of the board and I'm going to score a 70 or 80 and I'm going to go down as first or second defender and I'm just going to block something up. I think that's a really strong play. I mean, as I said, like when I took them to an event, I did have a bit more stuff. And despite, because I played into Tau twice, I did end up just taking, bringing it down in homers because I'm really original. But in the other games where I didn't play into Tau, two of the games I took tactical and I was felt like I had a good amount. And the other game, I thought I'd be really clever in the mirror and take cleanse and homers and just cleanse, tie things up on objectives and cleanse with the race. And I just played it badly. But I think that is definitely a really good thing because as you can see from there, the race have got those pistols so they can action whilst in combat and they're so durable. And that's quite a worrying thing as an opponent, isn't it? To go in and go, oh no, they're going to get 10 on primary every turn and they're going to homers for 15, maybe a bit more, and they're going to cleanse for the full score. I can't stop it and I can't really kill them. Shit, how do I win this game? In singles, that's worrying, and in teams, it's unbelievably frustrating. So I think if you're playing in Canoptic Court in a teams environment, you're taking them for that reason. You're taking them to be a defender and neutralize some horrible attacking threat and just score that deploy and cleanse. And I think if you're playing them in singles, maybe you do have a bit more, just two or three more scoring units. Like, as Ed said, the destroyers for 30 points in Strat Reserve, they're invaluable. Toon Blades are great for those early scores because of their scout move. And you probably just have a little bit more play there. You should also shout out the Doomstalkers. I love my Doomstalkers. They were so good. You would take them in no other detachment. But when they're just sat in their backfield with D6 plus one shots blast and just re-rolling all hits, it's incredibly powerful. So,
and then overwatching on fives.
And then overwatching on fives, just because you can.
With three rolls to hit?
Yeah, because then you're not leaving your deployment zone. So it's just such a threat, isn't it? Like, oh, you could come out here with that 10-man unit, but oh no, all of a sudden I've got eight shots and I'm hitting on fives, but I've re-rolled everything, and it was three damage, and it's... Yeah, they're Doomstalkers are genuinely... And you can loan up them. So you can just stick them out. And as long as you get your angles right, you can just stick them out and be like, oh, well, this is one you could shoot because I've killed the other thing. I think that's strength 14 or something. So pretty good anti-tank. You loan up the issue, the one that they're going to shoot at. They're quite tough as well. So...
Awesome. Moving us on to tips and tricks for Canoptic Court. I know we've covered a lot of stuff here with the reactive move, stratagem, lone operative stratagem, div wound stratagem. The only thing we haven't mentioned is always the power matrix. Obviously, the Canoptic Court rule is it's checked phase by phase. So you, even if you hold all like a majority of the objectives on the board or in each zone, for the power matrix, your opponent can just move onto it and switch the power matrix on. So it's something to keep in mind that the opponent can just switch that on you. So
I think it's a really interesting one because when I played the mirror, we both were Canoptic Court and I did not get to give a shit about the power matrix because I was like, well, we don't really kill stuff anyway. And he was very keen and desperate to try and get that power matrix on. And then the race came in with the power matrix on and still didn't kill anything. So I think it's kind of, but depending on what they've got, right? The Catan don't benefit from the power matrix. So it can actually not be as worrying. So when you're playing into them, a lot of people are worried about, and this is the interesting thing for me, so many people are scared of Wraith's output, and it just isn't as much as you think. Don't be as scared. Do the maths, right? They don't actually hurt. Obviously, there are certain targets they are very good into, but a lot of the time, actually, into anything remotely durable, they're barely going to scratch the paint. And I think too many people are kind of worried. And also, if you can tag them with tanks, right, they're fucked. Okay, they don't have that fullback and do whatever they want anymore, which they used to have in 9th edition. So you just tag them, and then they're sat there doing nothing, or they're falling back and then doing nothing for that turn. And obviously, don't try and tag him on like an objective he's happy sat on, because that's then he's happy either way. But if you can get those opportunities, so another thing, why, you know, like things like Votann with all those Sagittaires are quite good at getting in and tagging race. Like, genuinely, like, if you're playing into them, if you catch race out in the open, which is obviously hard because of the reactive move. But if you're able to, and you're able to tag them, it is really beneficial. And then obviously, if you are going, and you say here, if you can kill race or not, but think about your precision opportunities. If you can get rid of that Technomancer and get rid of that 5-up feel no pain, that's going to be going a long way. You know, it makes such a big impact that over the course of 4 wounds, that 5-up feel no pain just adds a lot. So, and then the final thing I would probably add is, it's so easy to say, and it's also so easy to forget about, but the lone up and the reactive move, like, you've got to be planning your movement phase and your firing opportunities based on it. You've got to try and be able to shoot multiple units that can lone up, so your opponent has to make that decision. You've got to try and, can you coax out the reactive move? Because your opponent might not have a clear game plan on which one they're going to move. So just try and, how, as you move and that sort of thing, make sure you're constantly thinking about what will happen if they reactive move or lone up when they can.
Yeah, because they might not just move away from you, right? They might move towards you or onto an objective.
Well, because the race can reactive move over you and then do their mortal wound.
Of course they can.
Because it's just a normal move. So that's, bear that in mind. Don't like move near race with something valuable, which is like 1 wound left, because they'll just reactive move and kill you.
Yeah, especially if you're putting like 1 model or just enough models to knock them off an objective, and then they just reactive move and put more race on it. That can be quite bad. Anything from yourself, Ed?
No, I think we've covered it pretty much there.
All right. Fantastic. So the last attachment that we're going to be covering here is the Awakened Dynasty. So the Awakened Dynasty is interesting because it does only have a 1% win rate. Sorry, 1% play rate. That'd be very weird if it had a 1% win rate.
Oh, it's me. Hi.
So compared to like the over 1,000 games for Hypocrit Court, this has got over 100-ish. But it does have an overall win rate of 54%, and it does have an event win under its belt. I think it's worth talking about because it is still being played, as you know, and the other detachments for Necron just aren't. So I also think there's a lot of tools in Awakened Dynasty that are worth talking about, and it's still, you know, quite possible that you run into them at an event. But I just wanted to caveat that just because some of the stats look a bit wonky here. So in terms of what they perform best against, we've got Space Marines 36%. Eldari with 67% and Chaos Knights with 75%. And what they perform worst against is Custodes with 14% win rate, Orcs with a 25% win rate, and Grey Knights with a 33% win rate.
Just before we like talk about those rates, let's think about the fact that none of the good players are playing this detachment. So that definitely skews the
win rate
on it. I rated this as the best detachment for my playstyle. Now that the efficiency buffs of, you know, modifiers, ignore modifiers, now being able to kill Catan much more easily, I don't think this is the way to go if you're trying to play like a pure stat check. So I think that's part of the reason that the win rate's so low as well. But I don't think it's quite as dire as some of those worst performing win rates make it seem at the bottom.
Yeah. I think the Awakened Dynasty is a great detachment for people who maybe don't think they're big brain enough for the Hypercrypt Legion. I think,
or it don't even think with their brain enough for the Canoptic Court, because there is like one extra layer there of of thinking to do.
Another good set for the Chaos Knights. Just continuing on from what we were speaking about before. With the Hypercrypt? Was it Hypercrypt? I can't remember now.
Canoptic Court.
Sorry.
The reason this is doing worse into the things that are good against the stat check Necrons is Awakened Dynasty makes your army tankier. You are able to regen, like, after models have died, you can activate Resurrection Protocols. After characters are sniped out, you can bring them back. But they don't do much else. They have a little bit of, like, an output efficiency, so that makes sense they're good against Marines, because they can buff their Wraiths to AP2. So even with Armor of Contempt, you can start churning through those, you know, Intercessor bodies, which we see so many of those. But it's a very fair detachment. You can't move away. Like, if an opponent advances and charges with your, you know, brick of wardens, you just got to stand there and be like, oh god, I hope I pass some of my five of Philip Pains. You can't go, ah, well, I see you've gotten within 9 inches of me. It would be a shame if I moved. There's none of that. It's a very fair detachment. There's no sort of shenanigans. There's no tricks. There's just stat check.
Okay, cool. Awesome. All right, so we'll switch on to the next slide here. So we've got an example list here for Awakened Dynasty, which is 2 Chronomancers, Nightbringer, Cesaras, the Plasmancer, Technomancer with Veil of Darkness, 2 more Technomancers, 3 units of Tenomortals with Tesla Carbines, a Reanimator, 2 units of 6 Wraiths with Claws and Casters, 5 Deathmarks, 2 single Heavy Destroyers, and 2 units of Tombblades. So what is this? Why is this different? What makes this unique from the other list we've looked at?
The one thing I think that this detachment does that is very valuable is the way that it can play around Cesaras. Cesaras is, in effect, a mini Catan. It's very hard to kill, and you can bring back infantry characters when they die once per character for a CP, and he is an infantry character, so you can bring him back at the end of the phase if you manage to get rid of him. You build around it by putting those 30 Immortals in. You could make an argument for running 20 with Tesla and 10 with Gorse if you wanted to, because they get basically Armor of Contempt, and all of their attacks get an extra pip of AP. So I think the edge that this detachment brings is you go, I'm running 30 Immortals. Is that good enough? I'm not sold, but I think that's what it brings over the Necron detachments.
All right. Anything that sticks out for you there, Chris?
No, I think, as Ed said, it's just the well-rounded one. It's got some nice tricks, you know, that... I mean, I keep harping on about it, but, you know, when I fire the Wraith Guard into them and you pick that target, and this is why we saw, like, this faction has a good win rate into the Eldar. The Eldar need all of their units to fire into, like, the Wraith Brick to have a chance of killing it. But as soon as you fire one in, they wait until the big damage dealer kind of goes in, they then trigger the, ah, you've shot me, or I've lost something. I now trigger my reanimation protocols. The reanimator kicks in, and then everything kind of just builds back up to exactly how it was. So that's why those sorts of armies can really struggle here. So I think the reanimator is key. We all know that Cesaris is, you know, getting 2 goes with any sort of character can be really powerful. You see it in Eldar all the time with Fugin and the Wayleaper, and Cesaris is so chunky because he's got 4+ for no pain, right? So that's, I mean, that's just such an impressive amount of...
It's also T8.
Yeah, exactly. Like, he's just, you get him in the right place and he's not going to get shifted. And he's got a bit of output as well. And I think this is, as Ed says, this is well-rounded. It can do a bit of everything. But because of that, it then is going to really struggle, and you're not going to, those win rates were appalling. Like, those, like, what was it, 14% into Custodes, 25% into Orcs. Like,
the Custodes one was, I believe, 1 out of 7.
Okay. But with those sorts of win rates, as Ed says, no top player is going to shift to them at the moment. You've got Josh Roberts, who's playing Canoptic Court all the time, and you've got most other people playing Hypercrypt. This isn't really getting a look in because it doesn't add enough to cover a certain area. It doesn't play into the Necron strengths. It gives them some interesting tools, but it doesn't quite cover it.
It buffs the durability when the durability is now not enough. That's basically what it does. It's interesting as well, just reflecting back on those win rates, if you're taking this detachment, you're taking it because of Cesaras, who is pseudo-lone-up, if Ceres is within 3 inches of another Necron unit, it gets blown up. Look at all of those armies that it's bad against. It's the ones that want to be in your face. So you can't even leverage the fact that you've got an OC3, can get up if you manage to kill it, character that you're happy to just sit on an objective, you know, with something behind a wall giving it lone up, which is a really strong tool. But if your opponent's just going to go, well, I'm just going to dump my entire army down your face, you go, okay, cool. So that scoring tool is gone. And now I'm just a worse version of the other detachments.
Yeah, definitely.
Yeah, a lot weaker against sort of close range slash melee damage, looks like. Okay, and then lastly, we've got tips and tricks for Awakened Dynasty. Anything people need to watch out for when playing against Awakened Dynasty?
All I can add really is, yeah, so if, with that reanimator combo, is think about your order of shooting. So in my case, what I did was I unleashed with the Wraith Guard, killed 4, then the reanimator kicked in, and then there was like 4 stood there, right? Was actually, if I had done maybe some my other shots first, chip damaged away, made my opponent go, no, I'm not going to hit that reanimator, and then I fire in with the big thing to try and finish off the unit, and then they don't get that chance to trigger that. So I think that's just something maybe to bear in mind, something which I experienced once, and if I was to play into it again, I would order my shooting very differently. So that's the only thing really for me.
Make sure you make your opponent pay the CP tax of bringing their characters back. If you can precision out the character, do it. Yes, you'll have to kill it again next turn. Doesn't matter. If you don't do it now, you'll have to do it next turn and the turn after. Like, you've got to chip away early and at present. Like, I had a lot of opponents who would not kill Ceres because they're like, oh, well, you're just going to spend a CP and bring it back. I'm like, yes. But if I don't have to do that, next turn when you go, oh, man, how do I deal with this? I'm just going to, you know, that threat of being able to bring back the model makes people play less efficiently. Just deal with it. Except that I'm going to be paying a CP, you know, I can only bring back one character. If you can potentially kill 2 characters in a phase, jobs are good. Yeah, make me pay the tax. I don't have enough CP as it is.
All right, okay, nice. Pressuring the CP, good, okay. I think that's probably about it then. Actually, there's a lot of crossover between the detachments for stuff that's good against them because they all use the same data sheets mostly. That's basically it. So thank you, Ed, for coming. Thank you, Chris, for coming.
My pleasure, sir.
Next time, we don't know what we're going to cover next. If there's a faction you really want us to cover, put it in the comments below and we'll take a look into getting that. In terms of, also leave some feedback in terms of doing single factions. I'm really interested to see what people think of that rather than
if you're so inclined, you could hit that join button, become a member, and then join our exclusive Discord where basically we're at your beck and call and you can ask us for anything and we will do our best to deliver it. So if there is something you are desperate to hear about in terms of matchups, then you know where we are.
Fantastic. And on that note, I think that basically covers everything that I wanted to go over. Say goodbye, Chris.
Bye, Chris.
Say goodbye, Ed.
I'm not a monkey.
Say goodbye, Jack. Bye, Jack. All right.